Welcome back to Ed Bigotti, a show of random conversations by people with Bigotti. Sometimes educational, surprisingly insightful, but mostly random and tangential. So it's been a week. We've missed you. How are you, Eric?
Sore.
Sore? Why?
Because they kind of relaxed the restrictions on, you know, recreational stuff. So I played a few games of badminton again.
Mm-hmm.
And I can really tell that, like, the 1 month of renewed quarantine restrictions really did a number on my stamina.
Damn.
And my knee. Because I could not, I mean, I was still, I won a few games, but mm-hmm. my knee was just, it was a nightmare. So I'm mm-hmm. probably, like, gonna need to buy, like, a knee brace or something. Just for the meantime.
Yeah. And while you're trying to find that knee brace, you should also look for a replacement knee as well.
I mean, I would understand if it was my left knee, because uh-huh. I've been injured in my left knee before because of football.
Mm-hmm.
But it's my right knee now.
All right.
So what am I going to do if both knees are wonky?
Buy a wheelchair.
Jesus. Could you imagine, though, me playing badminton on a wheelchair?
Well,
that would be so weird.
You shouldn't really judge the paraplegics. They have their own type of rules, I guess.
Dude, kudos to those guys, but I just don't see myself doing it because they have, like, years of training,
mm-hmm.
And that's not something that I'm really interested in.
Oh, well. And while you've been gone for a week, I've been slowly creating another podcast, which will slowly focus on more of my anime and gaming enthusiasts.
Yeah, that's a good idea, man. Because, like, I know that we've talked about mm-hmm. this before off stream,
yeah.
or not off stream, but off the pod, mm-hmm. that you've been kind of feeling. I mean, yeah, we have discussed this during the podcast as well,
yeah.
that, you know, that you've been feeling a lot of creativity
yeah.
just flowing into you. Yeah, you know, more power to you, man. You know that you have my support all the way.
Yeah, and obviously you're still not free from me because I'll have you guests over there from time to time.
Of course.
How dare?
How dare I speak out of turn? I'm sorry.
All right. Well, that's good enough for our weekly updates so that the listeners can stalk our lives a little bit.
Not that that's the most interesting, but yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Maybe you should start.
All right. So, first and foremost, I have to ask, are you a human?
Sometimes.
And do you like food?
Unfortunately, yes.
Because I was under the impression that you had to be a foodie to like food. Am I wrong?
What? Who gave you that impression?
Obviously, the goddamn foodies, because that's how I will start this podcast, because today we're going to talk about food, and I hate the word the goddamn foodies.
I feel like there's a story here. Maybe you should start, like, from the very beginning.
Not really. It's just slowly one of those, like, pet peeves when I see on social media. Like, I mean, I have a lot of friends, and we have a lot of friends, and everybody slowly in the social media generations have been sharing everything they ate, from, I don't know, just street food to gourmet meals. And I've always seen the hashtag foodies. Like, who doesn't like food? Maybe the vegans? I don't know.
I don't think you understand what being vegan really means, man. I mean, like,
it means they have no taste buds, right?
Jesus Christ. Yeah, okay, sure. Let's go there. I mean, I'm pretty sure that we don't have any vegan listeners, so we don't risk offending them.
Nah.
But yeah, go ahead.
So, yeah, I mean, because I have a thing with being elitist and being gatekeeping, and who the hell gatekeeps food?
Like, I don't really think, like, they're gatekeeping food, because if you say gatekeeping, it's like they're keeping people from a certain thing.
Yeah,
right?
we need to overthrow the masters, because we are no goddamn slaves.
Jesus. But yeah, okay. Like, I think I understand where you're coming from. Is it because they're saying like, is it because I mean like who hurt you, man? Is it was it a food? Did they criticize your food? I mean, because I know that you take pictures of food as well. Like you send me you send me pics of stuff you've eaten or are about to eat or are about to cook. So, you know, is that why they criticized your photo taking skills?
Nah, well, everybody criticized my photo taking skills, but nobody would dare criticize the food I eat.
Okay, that's so wrong in so many levels. Like, is your like okay? There's so much to unpack here. Are you saying that the food that you eat is something that other people, such as myself and others, can't really afford to eat?
No, like I eat bagbag. Do you?
I have no idea what that means.
Like bagbag is like some sort of leftover stew.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But it's more of merely joking, obviously, but it's more of it kind of just irks me that you have to say that you're a foodie if you like food. Aren't you just being a human? Is what I'm saying. It's like you're being a person. Like, am I not allowed to breathe?
Like a breather, hashtag breather. Yeah, okay, I think I understand. But I also think that most people who use hashtags, I mean,
They
like,
don't really understand because they're not thinking. They're animals.
99% of people who use hashtags probably don't understand what the hashtag is for. So they're probably just being like, people who just see their friends posting really good pictures of food saying foodie, and then they just copy it with like a totally mediocre version of maybe the same food. Maybe they took a picture in the dark room without any light, and it's just black.
All right, so they took a blank picture of food. That's next level.
Yeah,
So
they're probably
you would have to like describe your meal in a really long paragraph and describe it in the most.
Isn't that what foodies do anyway? Like they see you already see what's on the kind of like on the picture, but then they also say, "Oh, on the menu today is I don't
Because
know."
they need to let the blind their blind audience know what they're eating.
Jesus. And they do that by posting like on the comments or the
You
caption.
know, man, technology has developed so much that
Right.
the blind community can use some sort of braille keyboard that shows.
I think that you're talking about is text
Yeah,
speech.
or text to speech.
How would a keyboard help a blind person read a comment or a caption?
Yeah, but there's also some sort of like what I was saying that they can also feel the text. I've seen that somewhere. That's really cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is cool.
So
So yeah, anyways.
so that's mostly my starting rant with the hashtag foodie, 'cause I don't know, maybe I'm too old to understand. And as far as I know, I think the foodie hashtag has gone, or is it still creeping up behind me? I don't know.
I mean, first thing, you don't say that you're too old because you're not even like halfway through your lifespan. So stop saying that you're old because that's a disservice to actual old people. And second, yeah, I think that it's still going strong because I know that I'm a victim of this. Although I don't post using the hashtag foodie, I do post pictures of food sometimes, especially if it's, but I don't do it because like it's particularly good looking in terms of like the plating of presentation. I just take pictures of food that I eat, especially if I'm eating at a restaurant. I'm like, okay, and then I'll just cross tag the rest of the restaurant, and to avoid people asking me like, "Where's this from? Where's this from? Where's this from?" Fuck you! It's in the picture.
Yeah.
Just click it. It'll lead you to the maps
Learn to
easily.
read, God damn it.
Oh yeah. Oh God. Like the read, basic reading comprehension is so low nowadays.
Yeah, that.
Like totally off topic.
Okay.
I was in the pharmacy today,
All right.
and there was this guy, because technically when you come into the pharmacy, they have kind of like these numbers where you pull it out, or you just pull just it's kind of like a pull tab or whatever, and you just pull it. It'll rip or the paper will tear,
Yeah.
but that's okay. So long as the number is still visible. And then comes this guy, and he was like fumbling around on the stand with the pull tabs or whatever. And he was really close to me. Like I could feel his body heat, that level of close. I was at the counter, and I was already kind of pissed off at the pharmacist because of some pedantic shit that she was trying to pull on me. And I'm like, sir, you don't need to fumble at the base. It says here,
Cool.
it says pull number. And then I do it for him. Here you go. And he was kind of like being really snarky with me. Like I wasn't, I admit I was a bit, I was, I kind of got a bit pissed. I kind of snapped at him. And then he just kind of like replied with a snarky, like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know. Can you forgive me? Like, all that sarcastic, all sarcastic like.
Yeah.
And I'm like, learn to read. God damn it. Jesus.
Jesus. I don't know.
Yeah, but anyway, back to foodies. I mean, I don't particularly care because it doesn't really affect me much. I mean, I do know that there are some people, like I personally know one person, and I know that he's a listener, or maybe he listens from time to time. I'm not really sure. But I know that he is a foodie, and he would post kind of like reviews of stuff he eats. And yeah, like, sure, if that's your thing, go ahead, man. People do. I know his circle, his audience likes kind of like him putting out those reviews, and like more power to him. Like I don't understand where what your issue really is with foodies.
Actually, it's just the word itself. Like, why do we need a distinction for people who likes food? Isn't that like very basic? Why do we need to feel special about eating food? It's
Well, maybe it's just the way for them to kind of like show off that they have a very refined palate,
wait. So you're only allowed to use the hashtag foodie if you're eating with somewhere really fancy.
No, like how they say that when how chefs, celebrity chefs, and like talk about the flavor, the what they call this, the flavor profile, right? So maybe that's what foodies are, because unlike us normies, I'm not sure if I'm using that word right, unlike us normal people, we just eat, it tastes good or it tastes bad, and that's it. Whereas for a foodie, I'm guessing what I guess it I'm guessing that they're trying to kind of like show the world that they have a more refined palate. Like instead of just saying tasty, they'll describe like a full sensory description of what that food,
Tastes like.
I don't know. Yeah, like this chicken a la king has a very refined taste. I can feel the sauce is just burn, just melting in my mouth with a faint hints of pineapple. I'm not sure if a la king has pineapple or whatever. I'm obviously talking out of my ass, but maybe that's why. I can taste the chestnuts and the cinnamon. Like, again, not something that you put on chicken a la king. I'm just talking out my ass.
But again, they don't really do that. So my personal gripe is more of like, why even use it if you're not using it correctly, or why is it even there in the first place? Not really. No. Just some rant.
Well, you also know that the hashtags help you kind of like connect to other people who will also use the same hashtag, and then kind of connects you with other like-minded people, and hey, you have a refined palate as well. Me too.
Hashtag I eat food. Well,
Maybe you could start a new hashtag trend. I eat food. Hashtag I eat food. And you just post pictures of food that you eat every day.
technically, there are those who overwhelms the overwhelm. They overuse the hashtags. They would also use the hashtag that I said, like hashtag food, hashtag people who love food, or something like that. Not
That's
necessarily.
interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. But I've seen those hashtags. Like, for one thing, they would like post like tens of hashtags, I guess, to get viewers and likes, probably.
I also know, I mean, I know a little bit because, again, of my friend who is a food reviewer. I wouldn't call him a foodie. I don't know if he calls himself that, whatever. But anyway, I know that there are some people who use it as a profession, and there are some legit people who just, they come to the restaurant, they order food, they take pictures, they eat it, they taste it, and it's a very involved process. And then they're going to post their pictures with the reviews and descriptions and stuff like that. And I mean, there is actual drama around our industry. I know that there's kind of like there are like toxic people that you would only hear about on the news maybe or on social media, but there are actual people who are really toxic and would come into the restaurant and they feel like they're actual like Michelin star reviewers or something. Who would demand free food, free service, and all of that? Like even the Michelin star guys, they don't get free food. They do it anonymously, so they have to pay for their food. Obviously, the organization will reimburse them, but that's the point because like you, if the restaurant gives you free food, then they're kind of like obligating you as the reviewer to give them a favorable review, right? It's really toxic because there are some events like there are like restaurant openings and product launches where they invite all of these notable foodies or food reviewers and they give out freebies, either food or some other stuff. And there are like individuals who these guys are known within the circle because the foodies have their own circles. And it's wild. Like I've read about this from my friend, where this person comes into the restaurant, and just kind of like, don't you know who I am? When waiters kind of come and take their order, don't you know who I am? I'm so and so person. I do this for a living. I can bury your restaurant in bad reviews. You have to treat me right.
What
I'm
the
like,
fuck?
these kinds of people exist?
Yes,
And I'm
apparently.
like, oh. Like, yeah, like it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
I guess it's human nature, man.
Yeah.
Find a
So,
good thing and then ruin it for everyone else.
yeah. So, Eric's friend, you are being judged today.
Not him. Jesus.
Yeah, just joking. Well, you just gave me more reasons to hate foodies as well.
I guess you could say that they're influencers,
Yeah,
but with food.
and social media influencers
Are
are
evil.
evil. They're like the bane of society,
Oh my God.
the root of our downfall, the I bad thesaurus synonym.
Root of all evil, I guess.
Yes.
I'm not, that's not my, that is not my opinion. This is Gab's disclaimer. Don't hate me. Don't send me hate mail.
Yes. So subscribe to Wet Bigode so that you won't be judged by us. Be a bigotilio. Hashtag
Bigotilios. Yeah, okay, go.
bigotilio. Yeah, right. So we kind of got off topic here for like, I don't know, 20 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, like your hate of the foodies, I guess,
Right.
has completely failed us.
It's fine. Because how can you appreciate food if you don't hate foodies?
Oh my God, what? Okay, sure, whatever.
Right. I'm glad you're in the same opinion as me.
What? Okay, I'm not gonna argue anymore. You do you, whatever.
Right. So, where to start? How about let's start at the very beginning. When did you first eat food?
When I was two, maybe? I don't know. I have to ask my mom.
So is breast milk not food?
Oh God, are we getting into the definite? Okay,
Really, he's just
I'm
joking.
gonna say no. I would say it's a drink.
All right. So if it's
Are food and drink mutually exclusive? Maybe.
maybe, but all right. I guess we could all agree that our taste in food started at home. And I'll just tell this not really funny story, but while my family does tend to cook, especially in a normal Filipino family, for example, for the, like with fiestas, we do celebrate here and there. But usually, because we are a big family, we only get to eat one meal a day. I mean, not meal, one main course per meal. So usually it's the soup variety so that we can share with everybody, which is fine. Sometimes it's salty, and usually because I'm not sure if they were just being lazy, but they would tend to just drop everything and just let it boil and then add those slats of what do you call it, the magic sugar. No, no, not that, the MSG.
MSG, yeah.
And it's fine. I like MSG. I'm a typical Asian, but I didn't know that when we were cooking fried food, that most of the time the food was burnt. Because typically, I think it's more of when it comes to fried food, they overcook it for fear of serving undercooked meals. So that's why most of my tastes as growing up, I tend to go towards the a little bit more salty food, but I don't really like very salty food. So yeah, because I'm not saying, well, I'll just, maybe they weren't really the best cooks and they tend to overcook fried food. And obviously, I didn't eat vegetables as much because when vegetables are served, like in a some sort of salad or some a chop suey form, it tasted very bland. So I guess,
That's in your family, right?
right. So I know because of that, I tended to like more soupy food or maybe smoke or grilled food because this type of food they didn't really overcook. And that's how my taste buds develop. Can you share a bit about yours? Or is your family a good cooks?
Well, I guess you could say I'm a bit biased because, yeah, like who doesn't like their family's food? But growing up, we did have a couple of helpers around the house when I was still kind of when I was still really young. So they would have, but then my mom would be the one to kind of like set the menu, let's say. And I could say that we had a varied menu from day to day. We would have soup here, and then the next day it's probably going to be fried food. And depending on the food, we would have maybe 1 to 2 viands, you could say, or main or courses.
Courses, yeah.
Not courses, but viands, I guess.
Yeah.
So the pairing is usually something fried or maybe something kind of like, how would you classify adobo? And then something with soup,
Soup,
you know.
adobo is like, I don't know, saucy food, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it's cooked in its marinade,
Yeah.
whatever marinade. Yeah, and definitely there are times when when whoever is cooking would overcook the food,
Yeah.
especially if it's
Fried chicken.
a fried chicken. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's always kind of
Yeah,
dry.
it's always dry.
Yeah, that's kind of like that's why I hate. What part of the chicken is really easy to overcook?
The breasts.
The breast?
Yes,
Yeah.
because
I hate
the
it.
thighs are still a bit juicy. That's why I like the thighs of the chicken instead of the breasts, even though the breasts had more meat. But it's always dry.
Yeah. And of course they say that frying is the easiest part, or that frying is the easiest skill in cooking. Because they would always say like, oh, like there's kind of like this running gag where, you know, you say, oh, I know how to cook. Oh, really?
Yeah, fried egg.
Cook what? Fried egg or fried
Hot
hot
dog.
dogs or chorizo or longanisa?
Longaniza.
I'm like, wow, rude.
Well, you don't need to fry if you're going to cook noodles.
Oh yeah, that's another thing. Really? What can you cook? Pancit? Noodles, basically. Or instant noodles, yeah.
Well, we do kind of have similar circumstances. Obviously, our families know how to cook. Obviously, we've been fed by them for a lot, 10 plus years, the minimum. And we have the same experience with overcooking fried, probably. Usually, it's fried, I guess, fried fish as well, but we can't really tell because I can't really tell if the chicken is dry.
Well, with fish, it's different because it depends on the fish. If it's, the usual, like what is a fish that is really easy to fry?
Bangros, the milkfish.
No,
Ah,
not bangru, or not milkfish. This red one, pisogo. I don't
Pisogo.
know the English. I don't know the English name for that, but we
Reds.
have this fish that's called pisogo, or and it's red. And when you fry it, it turns
Pink.
kind of pink. Yeah, that's very easy to fry. It's very hard to mess it up. But then there are like fish like the higher grade fish like tuna. That is very easy to overcook.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah.
Just piggying back on that, I don't remember the last time we fried bisugo.
Yeah.
Usually it's used for the one, the adobo for fish, the one where you use
Oh,
vinegar.
you mean
Yeah,
pinamalhan?
pinamahan,
Basically, adobo without the soy
yeah.
sauce.
Yeah, adobo without the soy sauce. Usually that's the cook, so. But I understand that it usually depends, because I think when Filipinos fry food, the technique they used to teach me when I was just listening and learning how to cook was that you fry aside until it doesn't make a sound, doesn't
Oh, it doesn't sizzle.
sizzle, yeah. So that's a good start, but at times you don't really know when it's no longer sizzling, because even though you should already flip it, it's still sizzling. So that's a good way to
Right.
overcook food.
Yeah. Like what the way that I was taught how to fry food was, you bring the oil to a high heat until it starts to sizzle, meaning it's really hot. And then when you put the food down, you bring it to a low heat.
Oh.
And you kind of like just gradually, because you don't want to cook the outside while the inside is still raw. That's the way that I was taught. And with chicken, this is going to be very difficult though, because if you mistime it could still be like it would look cooked, but then it would actually be raw
Yeah,
still, especially if you have it on high heat.
that's
So,
why Filipinos tend to overcook the chicken, especially.
and it's probably not because Filipinos are colorblind,
Yeah,
right?
it's
It's
because
like their definition of golden brown is as brown as their skin.
yeah, and I'm just a bit more piggying back on that. I wasn't actually told to lower the heat.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, I had to figure out that one out, and my girlfriend actually had to tell me to really scold me that we should lower the heat.
Right. Because there's a tendency, like, well, if it's a small portion, you could probably get away with it,
Yeah.
right? Because it's probably going to cook the inside really quickly.
Yeah.
But if you've got like really thick slices or thick pieces, that's going to be tricky because, like I said, the inside's probably not going to be
Yeah,
cooked.
because at the same time, with other cooking techniques such as like making soup or some adobo with their sauce, their sauce or the water part actually helps cook them. So we tend to just use the not really high heat, but medium heat. But I haven't really learned to lower the heat before now.
I love cooking while doing something else. Because that's something that my mom does all the time. Like she's cooking and then she's doing something else, like she's cleaning or whatever. So she's kind of like the master of the slow cook. And I think that that's something that I've picked up along the way because What I do always is like I don't even cook in medium heat. I only cook
The low heat.
in low heat and high heat. That's it. I'm just gonna leave it there. And sometimes what you can do if you're frying stuff is to put a lid on it.
Yeah,
Um,
so
so it
the
traps
traps the
the
heat and
yeah.
yeah, but again, we've digressed. We've gone too much, not really too much, but we've been
This
talking.
is not a cooking
Yeah, this
show.
is not a cooking show. Just to get us back on track, what's your favorite meal? If you were stuck in an island and you only had one meal to eat for the rest of your life, what would that be?
Oh my God, that would be so. I can't choose because I always. Oh my. Probably charcoal grilled pork.
Oh, grilled pork. I also like. When you say charcoal grill, the Pinoy type, right? Not the new Korean thing.
Yeah, not some gyptal.
Yeah.
Charcoal grill,
Yeah.
like over a live flame charcoal or live charcoal.
And before I answer mine, I would just like to say, when I got a bit older, I love buying cookingware. Just yeah. And just last week I bought a new knife. A santuku knife.
Ooh,
Well,
nice.
actually, I still can't really chop as fast, but having a sharp knife helps. But again, okay,
Yeah. I
and
think you need to learn how to properly sharpen your knife. I
I'm
could teach you, but there are a lot of videos on YouTube anyway, so.
I know how to sharpen my knife. It's very therapeutic as well. I do that from time to time, but only if I have time and if I remember. I would usually be just there with my the knife and the sharpening tool for like 30 minutes or more.
The
The
whetstone.
whetstone, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
Yeah.
yep, it's very soothing.
Like, I understand where you're coming from with the cookingware because when I first moved into my apartment, the first thing that I did was to buy a complete set of everything of cookingware, like my knives. I have like two, a chef's knife and a paring knife and chopping board. And I bought all types of ladles and spatulas.
Cool.
Like, I have like the slotted spatula, and then I have like the one that's just like one metal piece, like the flat, like the one that looks like a D. And then I have kind of like these ladles, like one for spaghetti, one for soup, and I haven't. And you know, it's funny because I have because of the meals that I'm preparing and the type of food that I'm making, I haven't used everything that I've bought. They're not even out of the plastic.
So you've been just frying food, probably, or not really frying, but the
I've been making. I haven't used my ladles because I haven't had a reason to use the big pan. I just use a metal spoon for soup because I just cook for one and myself.
yeah. Again, this is not a cooking episode.
Yeah, this is not a cooking show.
All right. As for me, if I do like the grilled pork as well, but the meal that I keep going back each time I want to, it's probably tosilog. It's tocino and egg. Yeah, it's.
Like classic Filipino
Yeah,
breakfast.
it's a really classic Filipino breakfast, and each time I go somewhere, be it a hotel or somewhere, that's always my first ordered for the breakfast meal. Usually, it's the Filipino meal.
You're missing a component though. You forgot your sinangag.
The rice should be fried, but for me, it's regardless. And I've been to a lot of restaurants just trying out the best tocino meal. And
What is your favorite?
my favorite would be probably the Caris Tocino in Iloilo.
Oh,
But
yes.
yes, yep, and probably in here in Manila, the closest one I've been able to eat. Well, there were better ones because there were fancier ones wherein they use like specialty meat from somewhere, tocino, but it's fine. But usually, I would still my go-to would be Pampanga's Best Tocino. You haven't tried it. I don't think they export it to you, but it's the closest one to Caris.
Could you may I Do you remember when we went to Mindanao
Yeah.
for a friend's birthday? Not birthday, her
Oh,
marriage,
merge.
wedding,
Yeah.
sorry. And then we stopped over at your fiance's place or your fiance's family friend's place, and they fed us breakfast
That's
and
vegan.
vegan chorizo,
Yeah,
right?
it's also delicious, yeah.
Yeah, because normally here in Iloilo, the chorizos that we have are really sweet.
Yeah.
They're not very savory, so it's really like just sugar.
Yeah.
But then when I went and when I had that breakfast there, it's like, wow, I didn't, I couldn't, I like,
Where do you buy this?
yeah, like, where is this from? What's the brand? Because this is really good. You say it's vegan,
Yeah.
right? I'm gonna have to check if I have any relatives in vegan. Maybe you could buy me some when you maybe come next, I don't know, 2025 when you come home.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. We've also been kind of searching for that brand as well, because we also like, as Filipinos, we really like love our breakfast, the staple breakfast, the chorizos, the tocinos, the tapa,
Abagak.
tabagak. Yeah. But I have a bit of problem here in Manila because chorizo and longanisa are oftentimes interchanged.
What?
Yeah, because I don't know, they call their chorizo, well, from our place it's called chorizo, they call it longanisa here, and it's not the same recipe, so I don't know. I haven't ordered one for a while.
Jesus, really?
Yeah.
Because like I know that chorizo is Spanish, and I think it's typically supposed to be it's supposed to be spicy,
Yeah, maybe
savory.
that's
That's
why.
the profile that I
Yeah,
know.
cause like you said, in Iloilo it's a bit more sweet, so maybe that's
Yeah.
why we haven't found the right one. So, and at times we just try to, I don't know, we just buy pure foods.
Okay. Maybe when I can get around to go to visiting your place, I'll bring you like a box of the longo chorizo.
I don't. I want caris tocino, please.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Tocino, not the chorizo.
Maybe the girlfriend wants chorizo, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. I mean like I really love I don't is it Karis or Cares?
Okay, I don't know. It can't be cares because we're Filipino.
What? That's so wrong, but yeah, whatever. I know that it cares or caris or however the fuck you pronounce that. I really like their tocino, the chorizo, and their bacon.
Yeah, they're bacon especially, but usually they don't have the long ones. They usually have the already chopped ones.
No, you get them in rolls. Those are rolled up.
Yeah. Oh,
They're not cubed.
yeah, but
Yeah.
yeah, I remember. But it's because I usually buy the already chopped
Yeah, because those are, you mean the bacon
big,
ends,
yeah,
right?
bacon.
Because it's cheaper.
I guess, and it's more easier for me to incorporate in other things as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of cheating with the Italian, you know, the Italian version of carbonara. I use Cares bacon
Yeah,
for that
yeah.
instead of, what do you call that? What's the Italian term for bacon? I don't know.
I know. Bacon.
Bacon. I don't know. I'm so sorry to any Italian listeners out there. I know that you don't really exist. But yeah.
Speaking of bacon, do you remember that time where everything was supposed to be wrapped in bacon?
Oh yeah. I think that was because of what was that YouTube channel?
Epic Mealtime.
Yeah, Epic Mealtime, where they would fry shit, bake shit. They would make that kind of that. You remember the bacon weave?
I don't remember.
You know, they like have these strips of bacon, and they would weave these strips of bacon into kind of like a sheet, and then that's how they wrap like ham,
Oh,
chicken, or
oh
whatever.
yeah. Oh, my heart.
I wonder if those guys are still alive. Like seriously, I would think that with all of the calories, like all the fatty foods that they eat, they probably need like multiple coronaries or something.
Yeah, hopefully they're being healthy right now as well. And for a time, I've seen a lot of things wrapped in bacon. Before that, the only thing I remember wrapped in bacon was the hot dog in,
Yeah.
yeah, that's,
I hate eating that.
I like that.
I hate it because the bacon is really chewy.
Oh, right. So
Like
you're.
on its own, it's great. But then with the hot dog, like when you bite it, the hot dog comes off really quickly. But then you have this, like, you have to struggle with the bacon. So I'm like,
So
yeah.
you're on the crispy bacon side, I'm more on the chewy.
I prefer chewy bacon if I'm eating just bacon. But if you have it wrapped on the hot
I
dog,
see. I understand. That makes sense. It's really hard not to be biased when it comes to your own food in the province. And
Why? Because that's literally the food that you eat growing up.
I don't know, maybe it's because I'm here in Manila and some of the food here, well, they are great, but they don't really have their own recipes. They have great Chinese food and they have great international food. I don't know.
Dude, really? Are you sure? Like have your Manila friend invite you over for like for breakfast or lunch or dinner or whatever. I'm pretty sure that they will cook you like traditional Tagalog food.
Which is like probably adobo, and it's a bit on the salty side. I don't know. But I do love Bicol Express here. And
You do know that Bicol Express literally was made
in
in Manila, right?
yeah
And not in Bicol, right? You know that, right?
I know I don't really know the history. I like, for example, a really good food that we love didn't like sisig didn't start in Manila.
Where?
It's in
Then
Pampanga.
where?
I've
Oh,
been
okay.
to where it started. It's really delicious over there. And it's delicious without the mayonnaise, and there's also a battle between mayonnaise or without mayonnaise for sisig. But if
I
you've,
prefer none.
yeah, and it's fine. And I've tasted one where it's really delicious without mayonnaise, so there's that.
Yeah, 'cause like there's a sisig place near my near work, and all of my coworkers, young, I tell you, very young, and they were saying, "Oh, this sisig place is really good," and blah 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 blah, and you know, me being my usual self, I'm
Oh, really?
like, "Oh, really? This better make me come.
All right, so
This better make me orgasm in ecstasy with how delicious it is." And when they served it to me, it was relatively cheap, but you could taste the, you know, because sisig is made out of innards, right?
not
So,
necessarily. I think it's the face of the pig.
okay, whatever. But you could just taste kind of like a hint of bitterness that kind of tells you that it wasn't really cleaned well. And what's worse is that it had mayo on top, which is just, sisig is already very savory. It's supposed to be very salty because it's a tradition, because they're supposed to pair it with alcohol.
Yeah, I guess.
And I'm like, what the? And it's already very greasy. And
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck? Why would you add mayo? And it had chicharron. Like, what the fuck? Chicharron and mayo does not make for a good season. Like, it was a bad time for me. I did not enjoy that
Did
food.
you table flip?
No, but I did accuse them of lying because this doesn't even give me a boner. Like, I can feel. You know, I can feel it kind of like going inside, kind of like into a pouch. It was that bad.
Damn.
Like, why? Why would you recommend? Your taste is shit. I said that through their faces. I'm like, your taste is shit.
Well, with regards to chicharron, one of my favorite meals as well is bok choy. And
Oh, yeah.
ever since the pandemic, I've been Ted's is Iloilo made bok choy, and there are a few Ted's here in Manila. But ever since the pandemic, I think most of them have closed. And I haven't had bok choy in a long time. The only way I can satisfy my craving is to buy those instant bok choy noodles.
What? There's an instant bok choy now?
What the fuck? It's been there for a long time. Lucky me, bok choy.
Ew! Like I,
But it's been there for like years now, like a decade at least.
I can't imagine eating instant bok choy, man. Because bok choy is like for a soup, for a noodle soup, it has a very complex flavor,
Yes,
I
exactly.
think. And you can't, like, oh,
Well,
like, ew, no.
mean,
Can't do that to bok choy.
well, if you're craving for the things you want, you got no choice.
Oh my God, you could just make your own.
Well, I've been contemplating making our own. That's too much effort. Maybe if I was really desperate for that one, yeah, I'll take a rain check on that. And
Okay, so the shit that I have to bring you, if I ever do get to visit you guys, cares, everything cares slash caris, if you pronounce it, and also bok choy.
Yeah, and also Roberto's, and also Batuan.
Yeah, but one I can give you, like, you want a box? I can give you a box of that.
I mean, with regards to our my bias when it comes to food from our province, it's essentially comes all comes down to Batuan based food.
Yeah, I don't think bok choy doesn't have
But
Batuan,
she
but.
doesn't have Batuan, but I don't think they don't really know how to. I don't know. It's Batuan is prob. I'm not sure if Batuan is like Chinese or Spanish. It's neither, right? It's like a combination.
Yeah, I would say it's a combination of, I mean, it's definitely inspired by the Chinese because, you know, it's a
It's
noodle
a noodle,
soup.
yeah.
Yeah, I don't really understand it either. Like, I don't know where it came from, how it started. Because to those who don't know what bok choy is, especially to our foreign listeners, bok choy is just is kind of like it has a clear broth of soup.
Yeah.
And then you add it's kind of, and then you add like the noodles, which is an egg. I think it's an egg-based
It's an
noodle.
egg-based noodle.
And then you have like the innards, pig innards or intestines, and then you could add
Livers.
liver. Yeah, liver, definitely liver is one. What else?
Chicharron.
Chicharron.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an integral part.
And a lot of garlic.
And what I love about eating bok choy is I love the noodles. The soup is okay. I know that you're kind of like one of those guys who like gets the extra caldo. We call soup, especially if it's bok choy related, we call it
Although
caldo.
it's soup, yeah.
Yeah. So it's literally soup, sorry. I know that you love getting more caldo or soup. I don't. I prefer the noodles because, like, I don't know. And for me, my preference when I'm eating bok choy is like I eat it with puto,
Yeah,
which
puto.
is a rice cake
Yeah,
thing.
puto as well.
And oh Jesus, I want to eat bok choy now. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Why are we talking about bok choy? God damn
Well,
it.
see, this is a food episode, and I love bok choy.
Yeah, bok choy, I crave it.
I would kill somebody's first son for bok
What? You would commit murder? Jesus.
choy.
Well, maybe if, ooh, you didn't specify the age, so maybe you could get away with someone who's already dying.
Maybe.
Right?
And
Like, you ask a random girl, Eric, are you the eldest son? Yes. Stab. Anything for bok choy.
And for a long time, I've been a believer of the typical noodles of bok choy. But because of our friend, my best friend, switch sides, I've been on the sotanghon noodles, yeah. Because the main reasoning is it tends not to absorb the soup as much. So we, because like you said, I do love my caldo, my soup, so I can drink, devour the soup, and get more without it being absorbed by the noodles.
Okay. Like I can understand because the Tanghon noodle, which is a rice noodle, by the way. I love, you know, the Nissin cup noodles.
Yeah,
This is not an endorsement, kind of it is, but I love the sotanghon
The
noodles.
chicken sotanghon,
Yeah, the
right?
chicken
I
sotanghon
have
noodles.
one right now in my
Oh fuck you! Now I want
I'm
that.
not eating one right now, but I just recently bought one because I
You have it
usually
stocked.
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and I'm surprised you know of that. At the same time, really surprised you don't know there's a bok choy this in Lucky Me noodles. I don't know why.
Maybe because I live in the land of bok choy, and we don't need that instant bok choy bullshit.
Yeah, I'm soldier.
I think that's the only reason. Like, fuck you, Nana Longos, for butchering bok choy.
I don't think there are other Ilonggo's food. Did you miss any? Aside for the Batuan base, Bat Choy, Spain one. I can't think of anyone because obviously the Chinese foods are Chinese.
Right, yeah. What other Ilonggo dishes are there? Like, what about the kakanin? Like, the Filipino snack?
Surprisingly, I don't really like kakanin. But
How
yeah, except for one.
dare
Except
you?
for one, the one where you add sugar on top.
Ah, you mean
The
that's though.
Yeah,
Palitao.
it's called paitao, yeah.
It's palitao in Tagalog. In Hiligaynon, it is muasi.
It's moasi. And for
Yes.
a long time I've been calling it by a different name.
Oh God.
I think I was
What name have you?
I was calling it Kalamay Hati.
Kala, not what? No. How? Oh my God.
Cause kalamay is in our language it's sugar, right? Cause I saw
Oh my God. No, that's so wrong. You don't call palitao. Kalamayhati, Jesus. Kalamayhati, if you, I mean, Kalamayhati, how would you describe Kalamayhati? Like the real
I
Kalamayhati,
think
not that fucking version.
I think it's like the brown one, right?
Yeah, it's a brown kind of paste. It's pasty, but then it's very stretchy and it's very sweet. So I mean, I guess the kind of like American, the closest American approximate that I can think of is it's a more organic version of toffee
I guess, yeah.
or toffee. Yeah, toffee, whatever. It's really stretchy. It's not really a paste, but it's kind of like I don't know, it's a goo type of substance, whatever, and it's really sweet. And I used to love that shit when I was a kid, because obviously because it's sweet. But now when I eat it, I would probably eat like maybe just one, two or three spoonful at a time. It's really fucking sweet, and it'll give me a sore throat.
Oh, all right. And speaking of kakanins, is bibingka a kakanin? Because I still also like that. Yeah,
Yes.
so I also like that. So essentially,
Wait. Which type of bibingka? Like
like,
the original
there's
bibingka
two
or
type.
the Ilonggo bibingka?
Is the Ilonggo bibingka the one where it's flat, and not
Yes.
bread-like?
Yes,
So,
that's the one sold outside of churches.
yeah, so that's the one.
Yeah, I am particular to that
I
as well.
don't like the goddamn bread. I love bread. I eat a lot of bread. Bibingka and bread, they should be burnt to hell.
You've never tasted like a bibingka that has salted egg on it?
Bibingka and salted egg. Can't.
Seriously, because the original bibingka has salted egg on top.
I can't say I have.
Dude, you're in Manila. How could you not eat original bibingka? I'm not really sure which part of Manila or Luzon, but the original version of bibingka has salted egg on top. And you would probably say that, what, salted egg on some sort of sweet stuff, a sweet pastry? And it works, man. Like, I don't know how to
I
describe
mean,
it.
yeah,
Like,
I can understand in when it comes to taste, sweet and salty. It's a real, and if it's done well, it's a really good combination. So I can understand it, but I haven't been really, like I said, I'm not really into kakanin, so I wouldn't be really looking around like
God damn
what.
it. Okay, this is what we're going to do. Whenever this pandemic bullshit finally kind of ends and we go back to some sort of normalcy, this is what we're going to do. I am going to plan a trip where I go to Manila, I visit you. I'm probably going to take a week off,
Okay.
and you're going to take a week off.
Probably.
Everybody's going to take a week
All
off.
right.
And this is what we're going to do. I'm going to bring you all of the shit that you miss, and then we're going to go and hunt for original versions that we have in Iloilo, like bibingka and all of that other bullshit.
All right.
So that it's like a food trip, you know. And
It is
I know that,
exactly a food trip.
yeah. And we're not going to be staying in the city. Definitely not. Fuck that. We're probably going to go to I don't know, Batangas or Laguna, wherever.
I mean, outside the city limits, the food is great. It's more of inside the city limits. And if I were to give it a reason why, because it's probably it's a dog eat dog world out here, and they want to gain as much as they can. So they try to sell more with less. So that's why I'm really making a lot of assumptions here. So like, but. I don't really care, but it's probably like this: they make the food more saucy, more salty, so they can sell more, probably something like that. And yeah, and they don't really care really for taste, because
well, there are you do realize there are like literal economic factors in play.
Yep.
A, because ingredients are fucking expensive; they have to ship it inside the city.
Yeah.
So outside of the city, it's
cheaper.
It's way cheaper, yep. And you get more fresh ingredients.
Yeah, that's
and the second because it's expensive, they have to cook with less.
Yeah, probably. That's why.
What? Yeah.
That's why. I mean, you've also added the other reasons, but again, that's why I don't really like the food here.
Yeah, I mean, I recently read a blog post from a tourist. Like, I think she was American, mm-hmm. or I think she was British, and she was complaining about Filipino food or Filipino cuisine in general, and she was saying that
it's salty.
She used to think, or she used to wonder, why there wasn't a lot of Filipino cuisine, you know, restaurants with Filipino cuisine on them, you know, like if Chinese food, Japanese, Korean, Vietnamese, yeah. Thai, those kinds of things. So she was like, well. And she was like wondering, why aren't there any restaurants outside of the Philippines that have Filipino cuisine? And she comes to the Philippines and she stays in the city. And then she says, oh, so that's why. And I'm like,
what?
What? Yeah, it's like, what? What the fuck? And then lots of other foreigners start chipping in, like, yeah, the food is really bad and it's too salty, it's too oily, whatever. And there was one Filipino who tried her best. Like, she was kind of like asking questions, like,
"Where did you eat?
Where did you eat?" Right? And then this tourist was like, "Yeah, I ate at so and so restaurant. It's okay. It still has kind of like fusion, American fusion food or whatever." And then she ate at what was that? And she ate at the Karinderia, which is kind of like a roadside.
Yeah, roadside resto, whatever.
Pop up restaurant or a pop up cafe. And I'm like, oh Jesus, fuck. And then the same Filipino girl was like, I'm sorry to hear that was your experience. And then this tourist was like, yeah, even the high-end restaurants really did not taste good. And I'm like, fuck you so much. Like, if you could just punch this tourist in the face. I'm like, I understand where she's coming from. Mm-hmm. Right, that you would expect maybe that, you know, it's the city and then like five star chefs or whatever, but the Philippines is a bit different. If you want to really have a taste of Filipino food, like authentic Filipino food, get yourself invited to a Filipino house,
yeah,
and let them cook for you, and then once you're done, like having like a Filipino family feed you, go outside of the fucking city. You don't go to the city or to any cities for the food. If you want to eat Filipino food, like, I'm begging you, if any of you are coming to the Philippines, please do not look for Filipino food in the cities, because most of the cities are tourist traps and they're probably going to have like more Western or more foreign cuisine instead of Filipino. Go outside of the cities and treat yourself to real authentic Filipino food. Like, Jesus.
You can't really blame them, because I'm not sure, but I think this is only particularly happens in our capital. Like, when it comes to other countries, we've seen shows or even just random videos wherein they're able to just go outside to the streets and they would have delicious food. I think this is...
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
this is, like, I think particularly a problem to our capital.
Yeah, I would agree, because... Like I said, like the economic factors in play definitely have a very big role to play when it comes to like the accessibility of the food and ingredients and stuff. That's definitely true.
Yeah, and I've been north to where the ingredients are being grown, and the vegetables and other things are really cheap, even cheaper than ours in the province.
You haven't been to Bukhari. How dare you?
Well, that's the well for our province. That's probably yeah, but yeah,
But
I
yeah, I
mean,
get your point.
and I don't understand how. I mean, it's a long ride, but how could the price go up that high? I don't really understand.
Well, gas—that's one. That's a reason. And this is a plight that all Filipino farmers go through. It's the middleman.
The middleman.
So, again, we're talking about accessibility here. The farmers don't really have that kind of accessibility where they can sell their produce directly to the consumers. So they have to go through middlemen. You mentioned that you went to the north. Where specifically in the north? Like how north?
Just around Baguio.
Baguio. Oh, shit. Strawberry capital of the Philippines.
Yeah.
Was there a notable specific only to Baguio food that you ate there?
Strawberries.
Okay, I like cuisine, dude.
I went to in Baguio, I went to their night market, and there were a lot of cuisines, and it was delicious. However, it was foreign food. They had takoyaki for 5 pesos each, and it was one of the best takoyakis I've eaten in a while.
Oh my God,
Yeah,
really?
and they also had it's skewered chicken and vegetables, biryani,
Yakitori?
yakitori. Yeah, it was really juicy and delicious.
Oh God, man.
Yeah, well.
We should, I should, we should, you should go, you should go back there and you should bring me.
And yeah, it was like that. It was available in the night market. It was wow. I mean, we can create delicious foods, and we just really have a problem here in the city. And everywhere there's good food, and I just wish we don't really have to look for it.
Yeah, I guess that's true in Manila. Like, that's the difficulty with living in such a space, in a highly urbanized space. But yeah, I mean, like, I'm pretty sure that there was a place in Quezon City that is similar to what you're describing, where it's just a full street and it's full of restaurants. You could call them hole in the wall type of restaurants where up and coming chefs kind of like hone their skills and they open up their own restaurant and they literally live just, in the second floor of their restaurant. Those kinds of places. I forgot the name. I'll probably text you the name of
I
that
think I
place.
know that. I've been there. Not Singkatuna. It's in Quezon. I know there. I've been
I think
there.
it's Kalayaan,
No, not
or
Tirik
no, I'm
Kalayan.
or maybe just I don't know. I'm talking out of my ass again.
But
My
yeah,
ass.
and there are certain cities. For Quezon, for example, there are an area. There is an area where there's a lot of different foods and a lot of pop-up shops wherein they create their own cuisines, and it's delicious. There's also one in Pasig, as well. And I have no problems with that. There are a lot of delicious foods here, be it foreign or local. And most of the time, the local cuisines add a bit of international variety to them. Like, I don't know, adding sriracha to adobo, just I don't think this is a thing. I'm just randomly blurting out how they make recipes, but something like that, like Filipino cuisine with an international twist to it, for example. And I've been to places like that, and it's usually because I like to going to a lot of coffee shops, and usually in these places they have indie.
Indie coffee shop.
I'm not sure. Well,
That's a thing.
I know I'm that's a bad word. I forgot some
Artisanal coffee
artisanal.
shops.
Yeah, artisanal. Yeah, I know, cause I was thinking
Okay.
of like indie games. I don't know why. Yeah,
Okay.
but
So what do? They kind of like, I don't know, use ethically sourced coffee beans? Is that it?
so they have their own, probably have their own supplier from the mountains, and they just have their own way of roasting their coffee and their grinds, and they experiment with it. They practice ratios between coffee beans and and the amount of hot water, amount of milk. I can go in on.
Oh,
Yeah,
really?
it's a thing. And as you know, I'm really into coffee. We can have a separate episode for that as
That's
well.
a totally new episode.
Yeah. All right. I guess
We talked a
we
lot
talk a
about this
lot.
topic. We're getting into topics that we're really passionate about, I think. I
Yeah.
think mine was work.
Yeah.
Yours is food.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I'm not a foodie.
Neither am I.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yes. We're just perfectly normal human beings who love food and are not vegan.
We'll never be vegan, I'm afraid.
All right, that was fun. Bye. Cheers.
Bye.